From the Department of Efficient Airflow, you're listening to Red Belly Radio. Hello, and thank you for listening to Red Belly Radio. My name is Steve Heaser. My guest today is Bob Sprague. Bob is the assistant technical pilot in flight operations here at Southwest Airlines. Bob, welcome to Red Belly Radio.
Thanks, Steve.
Now, my longtime listeners might recall an episode called Blended Winglets. They don't just look cool. And that's we talked about how blended winglets really help with fuel efficiency on the aircraft. But today I wanted to ask a more specific question. Now, I can't speak for the listeners, but I can speak for the host. So without getting too technical, how does a wing work?
Well, Steve, to get really basic, it's airflow over the wing. And if some of you remember from physics, Bernoulli's law, basically as the air splits over the wing, the top of the wing is a longer distance than the bottom of the wing. So the air meets at the back at the same time, so the air above the wing has to go faster, and the faster the air goes, the less pressure there is on top of the wing, and there's positive pressure on the bottom of the wing, which creates lift.
So you're pushing the wing through the air with obviously the engines and the jets, and that air's got to go somewhere. Some of it's going to go on the top, some of it's going to go on the bottom. The air that goes over the top is taking a longer path?
Yes, it's taking a longer path the way the wing is designed. And
it's not an accident.
No, they do this on purpose.
and that differential is what creates lift.
Yes. The higher speed on top of the wing is lower pressure than what's below the wing.
So how fast do you, on one of our aircraft, how fast do you have to be going in order for that plane to take off?
Well, it all depends on your altitude, the temperature, and the weight of the airplane. So the higher the temperature, the higher the altitude, and the higher the weight, the higher the speed you need in order to get enough lift to get off the ground. So it would vary between, say, 125 miles an hour to maybe 200 miles an hour.
Well, that's a big difference.
Yes.
So, like, if you're taking off in Houston, right around sea level, there's more air than there is in, say, Denver?
Well, yeah, the air is denser. In other words, there are more particles of air per cubic centimeter than there is at Denver or Albuquerque.
Now, shortly after you take off, if in the cabin, certainly I've noticed, you hear this kind of a motorized sound, and something is happening with the wings. It's like they're getting smaller. There's something. What is that?
Well, what they're doing is increasing the area of the wing by extending the leading edge slats and flaps and the trailing edge flaps. Now, leading edge flaps and slats do the same thing. They increase the area. Slats not only increase the area, but there's a space between the wing and the slat, and that creates a low pressure. Okay, as the air goes over a wing, there's drag. What happens is the air really close to the wing gets slower than the air slightly above the wing. But what that low pressure does between the slat and the wing is pulls that air back down so the air does not separate until further back on the wing, which creates more lift.
So you want the air to go over smoothly. No? Are you creating disturbances?
Yeah, there's this disturbance as you go over the wing due to the friction of the air close to the wing. And the farther back that you can prevent that air from bubbling and separating, the more lift you have on the wing.
So when you take off those what were they called? Not flaps, but...
Well, you have slats and flaps.
So those slats are extended all the way, making the wing as large as possible. But then after you, I don't know at what altitude, you crank them back in.
Basically, it's about 1,000 feet above the ground. They start retracting the slats and the flaps.
And the same thing in reverse when you're landing, when you're coming in to land.
Right.
Now, I've noticed when I've sat on the window seat, I've looked out and I see these little kind of fins that stick up. I don't know how many of them. There's maybe 6 inches apart. They're maybe a half inch tall by 1.5 inches long. What's up with that? What are those doing?
Well, they're called vortex generators. And when they design the airplane, they're not on there. Once they do the test flights, then that's how Boeing determines where to put these, what size to make them. And basically what they do, as we said before, is the air is close to the wing, it starts to slow down. What this does is pulls the energy from the faster air slightly above the wing, when we're talking inches now, back into that slower stream of air that has gotten friction by going over the wing to give it more energy and have it be more smooth farther back on the wing, which creates more lift. Now, the problem you have is you want to use as few as possible because they also cause drag by themselves.
I'm trying to think of other practical purposes that people could experiment or things that they may have noticed in life. And one is that I follow Formula One race cars. Now, they use wings in a very different manner. They use exactly the opposite because they're trying to create downforce. They want to keep the car. Of course, the trick is how do you get the car to have enough downforce to go through the corners fast yet still be able to maintain speed in the straightaway. So that's the challenge of race cars. That's just exactly opposite of the way an airplane works.
Right, except on the horizontal stabilizer, which is the wing at the back of the airplane. And on that,
what people often call the tail.
The tail, yes. Well, the tail is the vertical and the horizontal.
Oh, sorry.
But on the horizontal, it's designed where the top of the horizontal stabilizer is basically flat and the bottom is slightly curved. So the air particle takes a longer distance below the wing to get to the end, so there's less pressure. So it unloads the wing.
That's to help with takeoffs, I guess.
Well, the whole takeoff, landing, cruise, the whole deal. It's to unload the wing. And that's how you move the wing, move the pitch of the airplane. But the basic design is if you didn't have it that way, the airplane would pitch over.
It would want to go forward naturally, Right. Physically. So is this similar to if you're driving in a car and you hold your hand out the window and your arm goes up and down?
As you tilt your hand upward, most of that is coming from just the force of the air underneath your hand, not really lift per se.
So it's not really how a wing works, but I guess it's something you could do to kind of understand airflow a little bit.
Right. I mean, a wing also gets that force to help it lift. But most of it comes from the lower pressure on top of the wing.
Well, thank you so much for talking with me today, Bob.
Okay, Steve, I appreciate it.
Well, that does it for this episode. Red Belly Radio is a trademark of the Southwest Airlines Company. This episode is copyrighted 2009. Captain Bob has indicated that we have come to the conclusion of this podcast. Please turn off and stow all portable electronic devices.